Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining me here, March 30th, 2026. I hope everybody's having a good Monday, good week, gearing up for April. It's nice here in Michigan. We're going to the movies this afternoon. It's like 10 o'clock. I'm taping this right now, obviously, because we have a big night tonight. We had some pretty crazy stuff happen last night with the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll touch on that in a second, but my kids are not happy with me. And I just want to get this out of the way. Have you ever done something so incredibly just dumb and everybody's staring at you and you have no answer? You just have to suck it up and go, my bad. Like, I completely dropped the ball on this. Well, that happened to me yesterday. It was Sunday, Palm Sunday. We had a nice mass at church. We went home. We kind of had a nice lunch. And I promised the kids that week. I said, hey, if you guys have a good week, we'll go to the movie Sunday. There's a nice movie playing. It'll be great. We'll bring all the kids, 8 kids, bring the wife, a whole thing, you know, spend some money, get some popcorn, get some pop. Who am I kidding? Who are you kidding? We're sneaking snacks into our backpacks and purses. But anyways, we get to the theater and we get to the little gate where you buy your tickets. And I go, hey, can I get 10 for David, please? And the guy goes, no, that ain't playing. And I just had a panic attack because I had checked the whole week. I had checked the day before and I messed up. And nothing worse than letting down your kids. And I had to turn around to all of them and say, I'm sorry. I screwed up. There's no movie today. I don't know what happened. I checked and I checked again, but something happened where I was just looking at the wrong theater. I still don't know what happened, but I had to just do the walk of shame right out the door. We didn't even, like, they wanted to see another movie. I was like, no, we're not doing it. Luckily, it was playing today, which is Monday. So we'll go and watch the movie at 12:30. On a Monday afternoon. So it's just a bizarre time. Yeah, it makes sense, right? If I'm a movie theater, I won't have it at 4 p.m. on a Sunday, but I will have it at 12:30 on a Monday. Like, what kind of people are able to see a movie at 12:30 on a Monday other than degenerates like me and just people without jobs? So anyways, going to try to make it up to them. Hopefully they forgive me, but it's just like, come on, give me a break. Like, what am I doing here? I'm just like, figure it out, stupid. Anyways, moving on. There are two things I want to talk about in this episode. It's fight night in Toronto. Hopefully, fight night. A little retribution, a little justice. And then the Vegas Golden Knights hitting the panic button. Just desperation move with 8 games left in their regular season. Firing Bruce Cassidy and bringing in my former coach, TNT analyst, and just all in all, it's just controversial guy, John Tortorella. But we'll start with Toronto. And I've been chewing on this for a lot because when it happened a couple weeks ago and Radko Gudas hit Austin Matthews, and obviously everybody was up in arms. Everybody had an opinion. Oh, he's, you know, Toronto's response was terrible, this, that, and the other thing. Well, they had a chance to have a little mea culpa, a do-over, so to speak, because lo and behold, look at the schedule. You get to play the Anaheim Ducks in 3 weeks on March 30th. So the 5-game suspension for Radko Gudas will be up. And they will have a chance to make good on their lack of response from when he hit Austin Matthews 3 weeks ago and everybody just stood around and watched. And there was just no response from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it was just all over the news and the media. People were calling for their heads. People were saying, and myself included, this is who the Leafs are. And I still stand by that. They're not a tough team. They're a soft team. There's no response. There's no consequences. There's nothing. There's no pushback. And I include Craig Berube in that mix. I know he's a tough guy and he played for the, you know, in the era of fights, and he was just a hard-nosed type guy and he won a Stanley Cup with the St. Louis Blues, but he's a part of the problem too there. He's not holding guys to, you know, accountable. Maybe he has no choice. Maybe his hands are tied, but in my eyes, he's as much guilty as Nylander and Nyes and everybody else on this team. So March 30th, the game's tonight. Toronto versus the Anaheim Ducks. The only problem is Radko Gudas potentially might not play. He got injured in Calgary earlier this week. He missed last game when the Anaheim Ducks played Who Cares? But now he's a game time decision. Reports are he desperately wants to play. Elliot Friedman apparently talked to him. I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he said Gudas desperately wants to play this game. And I had Gudas on the show. He seems like a good dude. It does not surprise me that he wants to play this game. He wants, as the kids say, all the smoke, and he wants to set things right. I know he knows that it was a dirty hit and he crossed the line, and he probably wants to, you know, pay the piper, a little retribution. He wants to pay the price for what he did. That's the type of player he is. He's an old school guy who plays the game on the edge. And when you cross that line, you have to, you know, pay a price, and he's willing to pay that price. So if he does play, I've kind of mapped out 3 outcomes that I think will happen, what I want to happen. And we'll just go through through those outcomes. Outcome one is Michael Pezzetta lines up with Radko Gudas in the first period, probably first shift, asks him to fight, and they fight, and they wrestle, and Pezzetta maybe gets in a couple. It's an energetic fight because Pezzetta's a tough kid. He's been on the show too. Two friends of the show going at it. You got to love that. But then it's done. And then everybody goes on with their day, and then everybody feels like vindication. We're done. That's the most likely outcome. Is it the most, you know, fulfilling? No, it's not. Do I want that to happen? No, I don't. But that's the most likely outcome. Outcome number two, Gudas plays but is injured and shies away from a fight, and Pezzetta now has to fight Ross Johnson because Ross Johnson feels responsibility to step in for one of his veteran players. I think Gudas is the captain. Maybe? I think he is. So Ross Johnson, standing up for his captain, says, you're not going after him. You guys had your opportunity. Now I will protect my captain and show you how it's really done. Ipso facto, Pezzetta now has to fight Ross Johnson, and Ross Johnson beats his doors off because they're just in two different weight classes. Pezzetta is 6'1", 200 pounds, and Ross Johnson is a mountain of a man at 6'5", 230, 240, and is a legit heavyweight fighter. So that's outcome number two. Those two I'm not really looking forward to. Those are the two most likeliest outcomes. What I want to happen is this. Do I think it will happen? Not a chance in the world. But this is what should happen. A, because Toronto literally has nothing to play for. Their season is over. They've already packed it in. This will help their outcome. Hopefully you get a top five pick and just get rid of that top five protected pick. So they want to lose hockey games. This would instill a sense of character, a sense of justice, a sense of the veteran players stepping in and saying, this is my team. We won't take this anymore. We're going to set a culture moving forward that we stick up for each other, that we have each other's backs, and that we're taking ownership of our team. So what I want to happen is in the first period, first shift, the first chance possible, I would like a Matthew Nyes. I would like a Willie Nylander. I would like a Morgan Rielly, one of the veteran players on this team, obviously not a John Tavares, but one of the veteran guys on this team, go after Radko Gudas with the intention and the full knowledge that you will get beat up in this fight. Go after him, stick him, cross-check him, slash him, jump him, drop your gloves, get the jump on him if you have to. Do what I did to Phil Kessel. Just instigate a fight. I don't care if you get punched in the face. I don't care if you get your doors beaten off if you're Willie Nylander. The most effective person this could come from is Willie Nylander. He's the one who saw it firsthand. He gave the pass to Austin Matthews. He's the one who raised his hand after the dirty hit. He was there. Just imagine the impact this would have, not only to yourself, but just to the fan base, the coaching staff, and you yourself. And Austin Matthews, who will be watching in the press box, the impact this would have on all of the players. If you watch Willie Nylander go after Radko Gudas, slash him, cross-check him, two-hand him, drop your gloves, throw one or two punches, and then fall down. Eat a punch and fall down. That 20, 30-second altercation would have lasting implications on this team. It would send more reverberations and just more good feelings through this team than a Michael Pezzetta going after Radko Gudas and fighting him. Like, who gives a crap about that? Pezzetta's been in the AHL all season long. He doesn't have a dog in this fight. If a guy who was on the ice, who was on the team, who's been on the team for years and years, who has a relationship with Austin Matthews, goes after Radko Gudas, who will be on the team, like a guy who will be on the team for the next 3, 4, 5 years, that creates a culture. That is something a young guy will look at and go, damn, like, okay, Willie, you know, he is taking some ownership of this team, of this situation. Like, an Easton Cowan sees that and he goes, damn, okay, I can get behind this guy. He's going to stick up for his captain, even though he's going to eat a punch. I loved it when guys did that. Nothing got me going more than when Johnny Taves would jump in and fight somebody. Like, that type of energy, that type of just all in for the team, it's contagious, and guys want to see that. So my desire outcome is that Willie Nylander, a Matthew Nyes, a Morgan Rielly, a Johnny Tavares, not a Max Domi, but one of those skill guys goes after Gudas early. But it doesn't end there. after that fight, Gudis gets out of the box, and then they go after him nonstop. They take penalties on him. You slash his skates. You slash his hands. You finish checks early, late, right on time. I don't care. You just destroy this guy the whole game. I don't care if you spend the whole game in the box. I don't care if you play 5-on-3 the entire game. You go after him all game. Why not? What do you have nothing to play for. This game should be solely about revenge, justice, and setting the culture and making things right. You messed up 3 weeks ago when you didn't have a response for this hit. Now you make it right. And you go after him. And you keep going after him. And you slash him. And you hook him. And you hold him. And you bang him. And you face wash him. And you punch him after the whistle. And you make his night miserable for 60 minutes. You lose the game 7-1. They have 6 power play goals. I don't care. You just do it. Shift after shift after shift. That's all you have to do. I hope that's what happens, because that's the only way that I feel like this team moves past this. Because if that doesn't happen and Pezzetta fights Gudis in the first shift, or God forbid Gudis doesn't even play, this thing will linger on for next year, for the season after. It'll be something that they constantly call back to. Oh, this team, they have no response. They don't have each other's back. Look at what happened. Austin Matthews got kneed and then nothing happened. It's just going to be something that they constantly bring up. So this has to end tonight, hopefully. And from all reports, Gudis will play. The guy's a warrior. He wants to play. And I hope he plays, because he wants to make up and he wants to stand up for his team too and say, yeah, I'm here. Come get some. Anaheim's a tough team, but this is my team. So I hope it happens. And then looking at it from a Michael Pezzetta standpoint, I'm a tough guy. I've been in this situation before. When I went into Buffalo, they had just been ran out of the rink by the Boston Bruins the previous season. Lucic, he went after Miller. Both, I have tons of friends of the show. Both those guys, friends of the show. They played recently, pretty recent after the running. What's that? I'm blowing the word. But they played right after when he ran Miller, and then Paul Gostad went after him, and then Paul Gostad got his doors beaten off. So I came in to kind of right the ship in Buffalo. We went into Boston early in the season. I knew I was fighting. And then good on Sean Thornton or Scott Thornton, whatever his name is. Who's that guy from Boston? Thornton. I don't know. Sean, Scott, whoever it was. I beat him up. Then I tried to fight Lucic and Chara, and it didn't happen. But I kind of set the tone for Buffalo. But I was on the Sabres. I was in training camp. I had played with him for a month. I was a part of that team. Put yourself in Michael Pezzetta's shoes. You sign in Toronto. You're a hometown boy. You're super, super excited. And you're going into this roster thinking you're going to be on the team. They don't have a very physical team. So it's like, here we go. Now he gets sent down to the AHL. And now he's been in the AHL for the whole season. They're out of the playoffs. He's like, okay, I'm going to get a chance. Trade deadline comes. They're going to trade a bunch of guys. I'm in the lineup. That happens. He doesn't get the call up. They call up some other guys, rightfully so, some prospects, some skill guys. He's still sitting in Toronto playing for the Marlies. He's pissed. Rightfully so. He should be called up. He wants to prove himself. He wants to be on this roster next year and in the next 5-6 years. Oh, but now there's an issue. Now you need me. And as a hockey player, your mentality, it takes a hit when you see all these guys getting called up and sent down, another guy getting called up. And then you see the injuries in Toronto. Then you see the trades in Toronto. There's roster spots available and you don't get called up. Everybody else is taking your spot. Oh, but now you need me to go out there and fight for your team. That's not my team. So you're basically calling me up to right this injustice, and everybody's watching me. Everybody will be watching this game and analyzing my response. Millions of people will have their eyes on me. Imagine being in his spot. He's sitting in the locker room now in Toronto. He doesn't know if Radko Gudis is playing. He's going out for a pregame skate. He has to be insanely nervous, because what is the best case scenario for Michael Pezzetta? And there is one. There is a possible good outcome for him on this. Best case scenario, Gudis dresses, he goes out and he beats him up decisively. Radko Gudis is tough. Like, he's a very tough cat. He's feisty. He's strong. He's like that Greco-Roman wrestler type where he will manhandle you in the fight. But Bezette is tough too. Like, he knows how to throw him, but he's not a heavy. Best case scenario, he goes out, Gudis agrees to a fight, he beats him up, it's over. C'est la vie, I did my job, I can move on. The most likely situation is they get into a fight and it's a 50-50 draw. Then you feel like, well, what good are you, Michael Pezzetta? What do you bring to the table if we can't call you up and take care of business? That's not the type of player he is. he's not a spot and nuclear option like I was, where you can just go in and you know, like, you're going to get a good fight and you know I'm going to win the fight most likely. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I was a hell of a fighter. And I knew if I was going to fight a guy 10 times, I would win 9 out of 10 times. Bezetta is an energy guy. He gets in on the forecheck. He creates havoc. He's not a guy you can play 3-4 minutes, spot him in for a fight. That's not the type of player he is, but that's the type of position he's going to be in tonight if Gudas plays. And it's not fair to him. Most likely outcome is he grabs this guy, they wrestle and he goes down, and then Toronto looks at him and they go, what good is he for? And it's, I know it's drastic, but then his career's over. It's like, well, it's not his fault you put him in this position. Like, you have to, I don't know, you have to read the room, and it's not fair for him. So my question is, like, where the hell is Simone Benoit? What are we doing Philip Myers? Where are they? Why aren't they stepping up? But Dakota Joshua, these are big dudes. Philip Myers is 6'5", 225. Simone Benoit is 6'4", 210, 220. Why do they get the pass? Why do you have to call up a Pezzetta who's 6'1", 210 pounds? Like, at what point did Philip Myers, who's from New Brunswick, Moncton, so he has to be a little tough, right? I'm sure he played in the Q, and that's a soft league, but, like, come on. Do you have no, like, pride? Is it an embarrassing for the biggest guy in the team to watch a smaller guy come in and fight your battles for you? I don't know. I always felt some kind of responsibility being the tallest guy and the biggest guy on the team. It's like, okay, if there's something that needs to be done, it'll be me. I know they're not exactly skill guys. Simone Benoit sucks at defense, and he's like a turnstile and gets beat all the time. And Philip Myers, I don't know what type of player Philip Myers is. He's definitely not a skill guy. Is he a shutdown defenseman? I don't know. He's got 2 assists this season. So I don't know. Why are we calling these guys to fight, to stick up for their teammates, to answer the bell? But no, we bring in Michael Pezzetta, you know, 6'1", and he'll do his job because the guy's an absolute nails battler. But it's like, come on, you guys, wake the hell up. Have some just passion and pride for your team and your captain and just your size. Like, fight somebody. I don't know. Let me know what you think will happen tonight. The game is in 7 hours. I hope something does happen. But based on the Leafs and their track record, nothing will happen. What'll be funny is Gudas doesn't dress and they just go on their day and this thing just never, ever gets resolved. And then Matthews will play him next year and maybe Matthews will fight him. I don't know. But I'm hoping Gudas dresses. Please, please let him dress and let something fun happen, because we need some closure on this. We really, really do. Speaking of closure, the Vegas Golden Knights have had enough with Bruce Cassidy. The 2010 Jack Adams Award winner with the Bruins, the 2023 Stanley Cup champion with the Vegas Golden Knights. What did he? No, sorry, 2020. I think he won the Jack Adams with the Bruins. My research has gone awry. Yeah, won the cup with the Vegas Golden Knights in 2023. He's gone. 8 games left in their regular season. Gone. Shown the door. They are in a playoff position right now. I think they're 3rd place in the Pacific Division, which doesn't say much, but they're still in the playoffs. They're 4 points ahead of the Los Angeles Kings for the last wild card spot. No, that wouldn't be right. 4 points ahead of them for the last spot in the Pacific Division. So, you know, they're a precarious position. Interesting time to fire a coach, especially one with the pedigree of Bruce Cassidy, but especially one that, in my eyes, is doing a hell of a job coaching this team. I know the results aren't there if you're the Vegas Golden Knights and you're Kelly McCrimmon. But can you honestly say that this is the fault of a Bruce Cassidy, the reason why this team is losing? And when you look at the stats and when you look at the results and when you look at all the players and how they're playing, there's no one in their right mind that can look at this and say, yeah, that's his fault. He needs to go. This firing falls squarely on the players. It's the guys at the top. It's the guys who aren't scoring. And more importantly, it's the goaltending. Because when you look at the stats, when you look at the actual numbers of the Vegas Golden Knights, this is a hell of a hockey team. This is a well-coached hockey team. When you think of a well-coached hockey team, you think of discipline. You think of solid defense. You think of good, you know, zone entrances. It's just everybody's doing the same thing at the exact right moment. And that's what the Vegas Golden Knights are. They're not a bad hockey team. They aren't. When you look at the stats, they have the 3rd best shots against, so they don't give up any shots. They have the 3rd best expected goals against. which means if you were to play the game out based on the shots and the shot chances and where they're getting shots from, they're the third best team in the league for expected goals against. They're top 10 in chances against. They have the fourth highest or least amount of high danger scoring chances. Like, these are all elite stats. They are one of the best teams defensively in hockey. Well, where does it go wrong, John, you ask? Well, it's the goaltending. It starts there. They are the worst goaltending duo in the league. Adin Hill and Ekrid Schmid are just atrocious. They have an .845 save percentage. They suck. They absolutely suck. But instead of addressing that at the deadline, much like the Edmonton Oilers didn't address their issues, no, we're just going to continue to throw it status quo. And I get it. Like, they have won Stanley Cups and they've been successful recently, but they're not good this year. They're absolutely god-awful. And for Kelly McCrimmon to not address that, and then fast forward to now, a month later, to say, oh, you know what, we're going to roll with Adin Hill. We're going to roll with Kira Schmid. Oh, well, we brought in Carter Hart. Carter Hart sucks. He's been bad with the Vegas Golden Knights. You know what we'll do? We'll fire one of the best coaches in hockey. That makes a lot of sense because coaches grow on trees and everybody can do what they do. No, not really. But if you know the Vegas Golden Knights, they are anything but loyal. And when something needs to change, they change it. They don't ask questions. They don't give it a second thought. They change things. And you have to commend them for that because it takes a lot of chutzpah and a lot of just no loyalty whatsoever to make these changes. They did it with their Vezina Trophy winners, Marc-Andre Fleury, Robin Lehner. They did it with Jonathan Marchessault, Stanley Cup champions, Ryan Reeves. The one thing about Vegas is if you talk to players, they never want to leave. They love playing in that city. They love playing in that environment. So you have to give them a little credit for just ripping off the Band-Aid and saying, take care, comb your hair. We want to win the Stanley Cup this year. So Bruce Cassidy, it's not getting done for whatever reason. Is it your fault that Jack Eichel hasn't scored a power play goal all season? No. Is it your fault that your goaltenders can't save a beach ball? No. Is it your fault that most of the team is injured? No. So what do? We got to fire somebody. We got to change up something. The coach needs to go. I will say this. He has made a few roster decisions that I don't agree with. When William Karlsson went down, he's been out for a while. They had the decision on who to place second line center. They have a couple options. You could bump Thomas Hertl up to second line center. You could move Colton Sissons into third line center. You could manage the lines that way. He instead took his new $12 million toy in Mitch Marner and put him second line center. Has Mitch Marner ever played center? Maybe. He didn't play it in Toronto. Why he would do that defies logic. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. Mitch Marner is one of the best right wingers on the planet. When he was paired up with Austin Matthews, they were incredible. He knows what he's doing on the right wing. He is incredible. I would say top four in the league, maybe top two. He's lights out there. He's a distributor. He is magical. He makes plays. Everybody knows how he plays on the right wing. For some reason, you put him at center. And playing the center position, it takes a toll on your body. You're up and down the ice. You're battling in the corners. You're getting cross-checked. You're getting hit. You're getting rubbed. You're getting bumped. It takes a bigger body. It takes a certain mentality to be a centerman. Mitch Marner is not that guy. As good as he is defensively, as smart as he is with the puck and situational awareness and all these types of things, he's not a centerman. So for Bruce Cassidy to just throw him in at the center position, it did not make sense. And it hasn't been working. Mitch Marner is having one of his worst statistical seasons. And you think he would see that and move on from that, but he hasn't. So one slight on Bruce Cassidy is that you should have pivoted away from that after the first couple of weeks where you realized it wasn't working, but he has stayed with that. You know, Mitch Marner is still a point per game guy, but you expect more. So that's the one slight on him. But other than that, he's done a masterful job in Vegas. They've had injuries. Mark Stone's been out. William Karlsson's been out. Obviously, in the back end, guys have been out. The goaltending's been atrocious. And they still managed to position themselves in a playoff spot. I know the Pacific's really, really bad. Connor McDavid said it perfectly. It's like a pillow fight. These guys, nobody wants to win. But they're still in a playoff position. They're still going to, you know, have a chance to win the cup. All that's gone now. He's gone. John Tortorella's coming in. He's got eight. One more thing on Bruce Cassidy. I thought this was funny because he's looking around the league and he's seeing all his other contemporaries, you know, winning Stanley Cups, winning Jack Adams. He's like, I've done that. Check, check. You know, I'm one of the elite coaches in the league. He's looking at Paul Maurice and John Cooper and Jared Bednar and all these other high-end coaches. They have down years. You know, Paul Maurice, do you think he'll be fired next year? No. John Cooper, he had a couple down years after they won a cup. Has he been fired? No. Jared Bednar, the same thing with the Avalanche. He had a couple down years after they won the cup. Was he fired? No. Poor Bruce Cassidy can't catch a break. Wins the President's Trophy with Boston, gets ousted. Comes to Vegas, reignites this team, takes him to a Stanley Cup championship 2 years ago. Gets gassed after that. There's no allegiance, no loyalties. Like, what do I have to do to get like a long-term coaching gig? It's just very funny. He's probably just shaking his head. I there's nothing more I can do. I'm an incredible coach. I keep getting just fired very, very shortly after I've done incredible things with teams. So being a coach in the NHL is not for the faint of heart. And Bruce Cassidy is the example, the epitome of that. So moving on to John Tortorella, I played for Torts with the Rangers. I know exactly what type of coach he is. Does he improve their odds of winning the Stanley Cup? Honestly, I don't think so. Is he all of a sudden going to make this team more defensively sound? They're pretty defensively sound as it is. Will he make them work harder? I don't know. Maybe. What will he do? He can't come in and change the systems. He can't come in and change anything. Maybe change the power play and penalty kill a little bit. Their power play is pretty good. Their penalty kill is pretty good. Can he make the goalies save more goals? I don't think so. What he will do, he'll come in and be a cheerleader. He'll come in and rah-rah, you know, and he gets a bad rap. Torts is actually a very good guy. He's very passionate. He means well. He wants his team to do good. He's invested 100%. When he goes in, he is 100%. He'll be the first one at the rink, the last one to leave. He will hold everybody accountable. That's the type of coach he is. But in this situation, I don't see him changing much. And these firings are directly the result of when Craig Berube went into St. Louis, because now GMs think, oh, all it takes is a different voice. We can go on and make a run and win the Stanley Cup. I get that. I don't see this being the case with the Vegas Golden Knights. I really, really don't. So what will be funny is Torts will come in and he always gets a little bump because players want to play good for the new coach. You want to, you know, it's a brand new time. It's an audition period. You can be a brand new player for a new coach. It's new eyes on you. You can get more ice time. You're trying to impress him to put yourself in a position to succeed and get more ice time and, you know, play better. So guys, there obviously is an inherent bump. So what will happen with this team is, I don't know, he'll come in, they'll go 5-3. They'll make the playoffs. They might win the first round and then they'll maybe lose the second round, but Torts will get another contract. He'll sign for 3 more years. And then the players will show up for camp next year and they'll go, this sucks. Like, this sucks so bad. I don't want to be on a John Tortorella coach team. Think of Mitch Marner. He's like, I got rid of Berube. I come to Vegas. Bruce Cassidy, very player-friendly team. Coach-friendly player. What the hell am I trying to say? I'm drunk right now. Anyways, now he gets John Tortorella? Like, that's got to be a tough break for him. But anyways, Torts will sign a 3-year contract. He'll last a year and a half with the Knights and he'll be fired. And the Vegas Golden Knights will look around. They go, gosh, I wish we had like a Bruce Cassidy type, a guy who's really good with, you know, to fundamentals, a guy who can speak to the team. And, you know, we have a very veteran team. We need a guy who's good with them. See if Bruce Cassidy's around. So what I'm trying to say is the grass is not always greener. And sometimes making those knee jerk reactions where you just want something to change, it seems good at the time, but give it a year. This one will sting. This is a bad decision by Kelly McCrimmon. This is a bad decision by the Vegas Golden Knights. They will regret this because Bruce Cassidy will be the number one coaching option on the market right now coming into next season. And if I'm a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, if I'm a team that's in need of a head coach, I'm calling him and he will do fantastic things with your team. He's a great coach. Every team he goes to succeeds. Not long enough for him to keep a job for a long time, but he does do a good job with the teams that he's coaching. So I know, I guess the Vegas Golden Knights, they did what they had to do, but they will regret this. Bruce Cassidy is a hell of a coach. Torts doesn't get them anything. They're going to end up playing the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. So that'll be tricky. But anyways, everybody, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Hopefully Gudas plays tonight and we can watch some fights, watch some retribution. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But we got an interview coming later on this week. I think Ryan Van Bush is going to come on the show. Just a knuckles, nails type guy, played for the Chicago Blackhawks for a while. So that'll be fun. Other than that, thanks for joining me. And I will talk to you guys later. Cheers, everybody.